So, I want you to picture this scenario for a second. You are standing at the front of a classroom,
Okay, setting the scene.
right? And you are teaching an intro to quantum computing course for undergrads. Let's call our teacher Aisha. Now, Aisha is a brilliant educator, but she is not a quantum physicist herself.
Which is pretty common for these intro courses, actually.
Exactly. She has 30 students staring at her, and she just wants to show them one simple, beautiful concept to blow their minds. She wants to demo a real quantum Bell state.
Oh, which is just a fantastic foundational concept. I mean,
Yeah.
for anyone who needs a quick refresher, a Bell state is when two quantum bits or qubits become entangled.
They get spookily linked, right?
Yeah, spookily linked is the perfect way to put it. If you measure one and it comes up as a zero, you instantly know the other one is a zero, no matter how far apart they are in the universe.
It's wild.
It really is. In a perfect simulation, you get an outcome of roughly 50%, 0, 0, and 50%, 11. It's the ultimate proof that you are no longer in the realm of classical physics.
It's the magic trick of quantum mechanics. But here is the felt problem. This is the absolute nightmare Aisha faces.
Oh, the software setup.
Yes, to actually show this to her class, she normally has to tell 30 students to install these incredibly heavy Python quantum toolkits like Qiskit or Circ onto their standard beaten-up classroom laptops.
And that never goes well.
Never. We're pulling from developer docs, GitHub repos, and architectural notes for today's deep dive to figure out how we dismantle this exact wall Aisha runs into. Because inevitably, the classroom exercise turns into a disaster. You have dependency
The
errors.
Python virgin conflict.
Exactly, laptops crashing. Half the lab period is entirely eaten up by just troubleshooting red text on a terminal screen. The magic of the Bell state is completely lost because the students are stuck fighting the software environment.
It is a massive technical barrier. I mean, you were basically asking students to set up an enterprise-grade scientific computing environment just to flip a quantum coin.
Right. And today's deep dive is entirely about solving that problem. We are looking at a project called RUCO, and I want to give you the core idea right now in one plain sentence.
Lay it on us.
RIKU is a pretend quantum computer written in pure Rust that runs on a normal laptop or right inside a browser tab, so you can build and test real quantum algorithms with NO quantum hardware.
And that right there completely bypasses the nightmare Aisha is facing.
So whether you are a curious developer, a student, or just someone who is comfortable with, typing an NPM command into a terminal, this deep dive will show you how you can touch real quantum mechanics in the first 5 minutes of trying.
And we're going to do it with zero undefined jargon.
Zero jargon, that is the promise. But before anyone can run a simulation, we really need to agree on what exactly is being simulated, right?
Yeah, we have to define the qubit itself and why it breaks traditional software so easily.
Let's do it in plain English. Think of a normal computer bit, the kind running the device you are listening to this on right now. It's a switch. It is definitively either a zero or a one, off or on.
All right, classical computing 101.
But a qubit is different. A qubit can be a blend of both zero and one at the exact same time, right up until the moment you look at it.
And this blend, this superposition, is the qubit's absolute superpower. It allows quantum computers to explore massive numbers of possibilities simultaneously rather than one by one.
It's doing it all at once.
Yeah, but that same blend is what makes it so incredibly fragile. I mean, the moment it interacts with the outside world, like heat, electromagnetic radiation, or just the act of you measuring it,
Right.
that delicate blend collapses into a hard zero or one.
So to simulate that fragility, to mathematically model that superpower, the traditional approach has been those heavy Python stacks we talked about.
Right.
It's basically forcing Aisha to pack an entire heavy-duty physics laboratory into a backpack just to show her students how a magnet works. It's overkill.
It's totally overkill. And looking at the developer docs for RUCO, the reason those Python stacks are so heavy comes down to a specific bottleneck. It's called the foreign function interface, or FFI. Yet the FFI is the invisible culprit here. Tools like Qiskit and Circ are industry standards for a reason. They are incredibly powerful. But Python is an interpreted language. It's relatively slow when doing the massive, complex linear algebra required for quantum simulation.
So Python isn't actually doing the heavy lifting.
Exactly. Python doesn't actually do the math. It delegates it to a high-speed engine written in C++ running underneath. The foreign function interface is the bridge between Python and C++ client.
Oh, I see. So every time Aisha's students try to simulate a simple quantum gate, Python has to package up those instructions, walk them across the bridge to C++ war, wait for C++ to do the math, and then walk the results back across the bridge.
And that bridge creates a massive traffic jam. Imagine trying to coordinate a million high-speed trains.
Yeah.
But every single train has to stop at a border checkpoint.
Hand over its paperwork to a translator.
Right. Wait for the translation to be verified and only then speed up again. That is the FFI bottleneck. It requires complex installations, compilers, and a massive runtime environment just to manage the border crossing. You absolutely cannot drop that cleanly into a simple web page.
Which brings us to Ruki's architectural choice. It uses a completely different approach, right? Ruki is written entirely in pure Rust. No C++++, and critically, no FFI border checkpoints.
That's the game changer. Rust is a systems programming language famous for being blazingly fast and extremely strict about memory safety. Because the creators of Ruki built the entire engine in pure Rust without relying on external C++ libraries, it remains completely self-contained.
So no translator is needed.
None.
And because it is self-contained Rust, the architectural notes highlight that it compiles down beautifully to WebAssembly, or WASM. I want to linger on this for a second because WASM is the real hero for our teacher, Aisha.
Oh, absolutely.
WebAssembly is essentially a way to take system-level code, the kind that usually requires a heavy installation, and package it so it runs natively inside a standard web browser like Chrome or Safari.
It bridges the gap between web simplicity and hardware performance. It means this quantum engine runs anywhere. It requires no back-end server.
Aisha's students can literally just open a web page.
Yeah, they open a tab, and the browser itself becomes a high-speed quantum physics engine using their laptop's own processor.
Okay, so we have this incredibly lightweight, fast Rust engine running right in the browser. But what does it actually give you when you turn the key?
That's the fun part.
Right. The sources detail three main things Ruko delivers, starting with the imitation hardware itself. They call it a state vector simulator.
Yeah, a state vector simulator means that Ruko is holding the full, exact quantum state of your qubits in your computer's active memory. It represents the qubits as a massive vector of complex numbers, and it applies every quantum operation as exact, deterministic linear algebra.
So it's doing the perfect math of what a quantum computer should do without the noise of the physical world getting in the way.
Exactly. Unless you specifically ask it to simulate that noise, which you can do. That is the beauty of a state vector simulator. You get a perfect view of the math.
But there's a catch, right?
Oh, a big one. We have to state the hard physical limits here. It is a simulator, not real hardware. And because it is holding that exact state in your computer's RAM, you hit a computational wall very quickly.
How quickly?
The exact answers are capped at about 25 qubits if you're running it inside a browser tab, which takes roughly 1 gigabyte of memory. If you run it natively in your terminal, you can push it to up to 32 qubits.
Okay, wait. I have to push back on those numbers. My smartphone sitting right here has 8 gigabytes of RAM. My laptop has 32 gigs.
Yeah.
Why in the world do we hit a complete brick wall at just 30-something qubits? That sounds artificially low for modern hardware.
It does sound low, until you factor in the brutal math of quantum scaling. Every time you add a single qubit to a state vector simulation, the computational cost and the memory required doesn't just increase by a fraction, it literally doubles.
Oh, wow. 2 to the power of n.
Yes, 2 to the power of n. 10 qubits require tracking about 1,000 complex numbers. 20 qubits is over 1,000,000. By the time you hit 25 qubits in Aisha's browser tab, the system is tracking over 33 million complex amplitudes simultaneously for every single operation.
That is insane.
And by 32 qubits, you are at over 4 billion. If you wanted it to perfectly simulate just 50 qubits, you would need more memory than exists on the top supercomputers in the entire world combined.
Wait, if the memory requirement doubles every single time, how does a classical computing world ever verify that a physical 100-qubit machine is actually doing the math right? If we cannot simulate it to check its homework, how do we know it's not just spitting out garbage?
You've just hit on the very definition of quantum supremacy.
Really?
Yeah. We reach a point where we literally cannot check the math brute force with classical computers. We have to design incredibly clever statistical proofs and theoretical benchmarks to verify the hardware, because the state vector math outgrows the physical universe very quickly.
That is a staggering thought. So if we are trapped by this 2 to the power of n limit in our browser, How does Rookie handle it when a user tries to run something slightly larger?
The documentation outlines a clever workaround. Rookie includes a built-in cost model planner.
A planner?
Yeah, before it even attempts to run your circuit, the planner inspects the code. It looks at the specific quantum gates you were using and basically asks, can we cheat?
So it looks for a shortcut in the math.
Yes. If you are running a specific type of circuit, say one that only uses a restricted set of operations called Clifford gates, the planner automatically routes the workload away from the state vector simulator.
Where does it send it?
To a different backend behind the scenes called the stabilizer backend. The stabilizer backend can simulate millions of qubits, but only for very specific restricted math. And the best part is, the user doesn't have to guess or manually switch settings. The planner just handles the routing automatically.
That's incredibly smart. But, you know, simulating the hardware is really only half the battle. If you just have an empty quantum CPU, even a perfectly simulated one, what do you actually do with it?
Right, you need software to run on it.
Exactly. I don't want to have to be a math PhD to use this, and I definitely don't want to have to write the fundamental physics equations from scratch.
And the creators anticipated that.
Yeah.
Which is the second major thing Rookie gives you. It comes with ready-made quantum algorithms that you can simply call as a function.
Yeah.
It's like having a library of quantum templates ready to drop into your code.
Looking at the GitHub repository, there are a few major ones included. I want to walk through how these actually function, starting with VQE, the variational quantum eigensolver.
Oh yeah, this is the heavy hitter for quantum chemistry. VQE is an algorithm used to find the lowest ground state energy of a molecule.
Meaning finding the most stable, lazy state a molecule wants to exist in.
Precisely. Which is huge for designing new drugs or understanding complex battery materials. It is notoriously difficult for classical computers to simulate large molecules accurately because the electron interactions scale exponentially, just like the qubits do.
So how does VQE do it?
It's a hybrid algorithm. It uses a classical optimizer to guess a state, feeds that guess to the quantum simulator to calculate the complex energy landscape, and then takes the result back to improve its next guess. It loops back and forth until it finds the bottom of the energy valley.
That's fascinating. Next on the list is Grover Search. The sources mention it offers a quadratic speedup for finding a needle in a haystack.
Yep, classical search versus quantum search.
So if you have a million items to search through, a normal computer has to check them one by one, taking on average 500,000 tries. Grover's search does it in about 1,000 tries. But if qubits are so fragile, how does it actually find the correct answer in all that noise?
It uses a physical principle called quantum interference.
How does that work?
Think of dropping two pebbles into a pond. The ripples spread out and interact. Where two wave peaks meet, they combine into a larger wave. Where a peak meets a trough, they cancel each other out.
Okay, I can picture that.
Grover's algorithm meticulously sets up these probability waves so that all the wrong answers in the database cancel each other out. The peaks hit the troughs. Meanwhile, the correct answers wave is amplified.
So it essentially turns the volume down on the noise and turns the volume up on the target.
Exactly. Until the right answer is overwhelmingly obvious when you measure it.
That makes perfect sense. It's not checking them one by one. It's shifting the probability until only the right answer remains.
You got it.
Another algorithm included is QAOA, the quantum approximate optimization algorithm.
Right, this one tackles combinatorial optimization. Logistics and delivery companies care deeply about this one.
The sources mention solving max cut problems. If I understand this correctly, it's like trying to find the absolute best way to divide a massive network. Say you have a huge group of people and you want to divide them into two teams so that the maximum number of rivals are on opposite teams.
That's a great way to think of it. Finding the optimal solution in a sea of terrible interconnected solutions is a nightmare for classical processors. QAOA uses quantum states to represent all the possible team divisions at once and gradually evolves the system toward the highest scoring configuration.
Which brings us to the final ready-made algorithm and arguably the most vital one, surface code error correction.
This one is huge.
We established earlier that qubits are fragile, right? A stray photon or a slight temperature shift ruins the superposition. But if looking at a qubit destroys the data, how do you possibly fix an error without looking at it?
Through parity measurements. Surface codes spread the information of one logical piece of data across a large grid of physical qubits. You don't ask the qubits, are you a zero or a one? because that would destroy the superposition.
Right.
Instead, you ask two neighboring qubits, are you the same?
So it is like having two envelopes with money inside. You don't open them to see the dollar amount, which would ruin the experiment. You just put them on a balance scale to ensure they weigh the same.
Yes.
If one side is suddenly lighter, you know an error happened to that envelope, and you can apply a fix without ever knowing the dollar amount inside.
That is a phenomenal analogy. You are checking the relationships, not the data itself. Ruka lets developers simulate that entire process, intentionally injecting noise into the system and watching the surface code catch it and correct it in real time.
But even with error correction acting like a safety net, running complex algorithms over long periods means errors inevitably pile up, don't they?
Yeah, the system is fighting a constant losing battle against entropy.
So what happens if the errors cluster so fast that the machine is about to structurally collapse? How do you know when it's time to just, you know, pull the plug?
That is the exact problem addressed by the third major feature of Ruko. And this is an entirely original concept from the creator, Ruv. They call it the coherence engine.
Coherence engine. The documentation refers to it as a classical nervous system for quantum machines.
Think about your own biological nervous system. It constantly monitors your body. If you accidentally touch a hot stove, your nervous system pulls your hand back before your brain even consciously processes the pain.
It just reacts automatically.
Exactly. It acts autonomously to protect the larger system from catastrophic damage.
How does that translate to a quantum software environment, though?
Well, the coherence engine runs alongside the quantum simulator. It uses an algorithm called dynamic mincut to watch the quantum machine's error pattern in real time. As the quantum circuit executes its instructions, the coherence engine is constantly assessing the health of the qubit grid.
And it uses a strict decision matrix, right?
It does.
Before every single step, before the quantum computer executes the next gate, this engine steps in and issues one of three commands: permit, defer, or deny. It is literally asking the system, is it still safe to act, or is the underlying structure too unstable?
Spot on. If the error rates are low and the surface code is handling things, it issues a permit. Keep going. If errors are starting to cluster in a specific sector of the grid, it might issue a defer.
So it momentarily pauses operations in that zone to give the error correction cycle a chance to catch up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if the errors are cascading and the quantum state is irreparably ruined, it issues a DNY. It halts the workload immediately.
I am picturing a structural engineer standing next to a massive house of cards you're building.
Yeah, okay, I like this.
You're placing the cards as fast as you can, and a split second before you place the card that would collapse the whole tower, the engineer rapidly yells, "Stop building."
But the engineer doesn't just yell stop. The engineer says the card on the third tier left side is bearing too much weight. Pause building there. Reinforce the base, and then continue. And it does this with astonishing speed. The developer notes show this engine operates with a 468 nanosecond P99 latency.
Nanoseconds.
Nanoseconds.
Oh. It has to be that fast because physical qubits degrade in microseconds, right? The classical nervous system has to outpace the quantum decay.
Exactly. The stats show it successfully flagged trouble a median of 4 cycles before actual failure.
The reason this is so valuable to a developer listening to this is that it fundamentally changes the paradigm of writing quantum software. It turns a quantum computer from a fragile, unpredictable black box that might fail silently into a self-aware, manageable machine.
Right. If you were a developer paying thousands of dollars for time on real quantum hardware or running a massive 12-hour simulation, you do not want to find out after 12 hours that the data corrupted in hour two.
It quarantines the bad regions, saves massive amounts of time and compute budget, and provides a clear diagnostic trail. It really seems like the missing piece for running long, trustworthy quantum jobs.
It really is. So we have discussed the fast Rust architecture, the 25-qubit browser limits, the algorithms, and the real-time coherence engine.
We have covered a lot of ground.
But as we bring this deep dive to a close, we need to provide a reality check. We promised honest limits, and we have to reiterate what Ruka is not.
Right. This is a critical distinction. Ruka is a classical simulator. It meticulously models noise. It models the decoherence of qubits, but it does not connect to a physical quantum processing unit.
It is doing complex math on a classical processor to pretend to be quantum.
Hardware behavior in the ZOO world may differ significantly.
Oh, for sure. When a developer eventually takes the circuit, they prototyped in Ruka and runs it on an actual physical quantum machine sitting in a cryogenic freezer somewhere.
Which sounds so sci-fi.
It really does. But the real-world thermal noise and microwave interference will throw curveballs that the simulation didn't perfectly predict.
So it is a prototyping tool and an incredibly powerful learning environment. It is not the final hardware destination.
No, but it gets you 90% of the way there without spending a dime on hardware access or wrestling with Python dependencies. It democratizes the initial steps of quantum development.
And we promised at the beginning of this deep dive that you could touch real quantum mechanics in the first 5 minutes of trying. So here's the call to action. Here's the exact single command you need to try right now.
Let's hear it.
If you open your terminal, no installations, no Python environments, no FFI bridges, just type this. npx aruvectoruku simulate qubits 2.
Let me repeat that for everyone. That's npx aruvectoruku simulate qubits 2.
That command reaches out, grabs the WebAssembly engine, and runs the exact Bell state simulation we talked about Aisha teaching her class.
Right, in your terminal.
You will see the classical output of a real quantum entanglement event right there on your screen, processed locally on your machine. It takes seconds.
And having that level of frictionless access implies something really fascinating about where this entire field is heading.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if tools like WebAssembly and Pure Rust can perfectly emulate a 25-qubit quantum environment natively inside an everyday browser tab right now, completely bypassing all the heavy infrastructure.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder about the timeline of the industry. Will the future of quantum software development, the algorithms, the error correction engines, happen entirely in classical web browsers, perfected by millions of everyday developers, long before physical, fault-tolerant quantum computers ever sit on our desks?
We might literally have the entire software ecosystem built, tested, and waiting, just looking for the physical hardware to finally catch up.
It's a real possibility.
And it all starts with not having to pack a heavy-duty physics laboratory into a backpack just to flip a quantum coin. Aisha's classroom is saved, the dependency errors are gone, and the Bell state is running smoothly in 30 different browser tabs. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Go run that command, and we'll catch you next time.